back to the beginning of chapter 3, Paul's been talking about what God's done for you in Jesus, right? That's chapters 1 and 2. What God's done for us and how we've been brought to know Jesus, yeah? And so Paul, in chapter 3, makes a start. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he goes off onto something else. And he only gets back to, for this reason, is in verse 14. Same phrase? Yeah. For this reason. He's going to say, for this reason, I want to pray. Yeah, but I've got something that's just come to my mind. Yeah, someone said it's the mark of a great person, they can go off at tangent sometimes. But it's not a tangent, because he was thinking about what God's done for us in planting us together in a temple, the body of Jesus, as he puts it. Yeah, so that's where he's going to start. But before we do that, he says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. What does he mean by being a prisoner?
Well, he was in prison.
He was in prison. Yeah. But why is he calling himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus?
It was because of Christ.
It's because he was telling people about Jesus that they locked him up. Yes. And he says it was for the sake of you Gentiles. So how come the Gentiles got him locked up then?
He was talking to the Gentiles
about Jesus accepting them, and the Jewish authorities got him locked up for it. Yeah. So basically Paul's saying, it was for you that I'm doing this. That's basically what he's getting at. Yeah. So Paul was willing to do that. He was willing to face all the hassle and the imprisonment and everything else in order to tell people the good news about Jesus. Yeah. Right. But that's what he's going to talk about, but he gets carried away in verse 2. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you. So he says, you know, when he says surely, does he think they don't know?
He said should know.
They do know. It's just a way of introducing what he's going to say, really, yeah? He says, you know what I mean, don't you? That's another way of putting it, yeah? And it was the administration of God's grace that was given him for you. So basically, God gave him a job of sharing this wonderful grace that God has shown and revealed. And he gave it to Paul in order to be a blessing to everybody else. Yeah.
So he was a prisoner of Christ willingly.
Willingly, yes. He'd go through it all again for Jesus, yeah. And he says, I'm doing this for you. And there's a good challenge for you and me. If God's shown you grace, are you willing to bless somebody else with it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Paul was going to do, yeah. So, he's going to tell them what, specifically, God's done something really amazing for him. He says, verse 3, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. He says, I've already told you this, but just want to remind you again, always a good speaker to tell you twice, three times, or maybe more, in case the people don't hear him, or they forget. Yeah. So, he says, I've already told you this, but there was a mystery made known to me by revelation. What's a mystery? It's a secret. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the meaning of the word, really, in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's not sort of some vague thing. It's a secret. Yeah, but it's a secret that's been let out, so you can know about it. But how do you find out and understand what the mystery is about? How did Paul get it? It was by revelation. God showed him something that nobody had ever seen before. Yeah, that's the thing he's getting at, yeah? And he says, in reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So, I'm telling you, I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you, God showed me something. That's what it's about. And you'll be able to see why I'm telling you this now. You'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So, the secret was something about Jesus. Well, Christ is another word for Messiah. Yeah. So it was a secret that had to do with the promised Messiah in the people of Israel, yeah? Right, okay. Which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by God's Spirit, the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. So in the past, previous generations didn't get it. Now then, two things there. The Gentiles, the people that were outside the people of Israel, had no idea whatsoever. Completely foreign. Yeah? The Jews had got a guess, but not much. Because it's something really brand new. Even the Jews couldn't have guessed in what Paul was shown anyway. Yeah? And he says this. It was shown by the Spirit. Again, making it clear that the Holy Spirit is the one who gets him people to know what it's about. Mm. Yeah, God showed him something, and he's shown it to God's holy apostles and prophets. Why does he call them holy apostles and prophets?
Because
they're holy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's something. What does the word holy mean?
Well, they're consecrated,
specially picked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So God's revealed something to a specially picked group. I mean, Jesus had a specially picked group called the disciples. Yeah. And God made them into apostles. God showed them something really special. Paul, in particular, in this instance. Yeah. And the prophets were the ones that came after the apostles, the speakers of God's truths. Yeah. The mystery is, so we're going to find out what the secret is. You ready?
Yes.
The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Mm. The mystery is this, that through the gospel, if you believe what God's done in Jesus, yeah, what happens is, that you can be part of the family of God, you can know God's love and forgiveness, and you don't have to become a Jew to do it.
No.
That was the key thing. I mean, God had revealed before that the Gentiles were going to get blessed. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
He even said it to Abraham. Long before, he says, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Yeah.
And of course, the Jews understood it, that what they would do is they'd give the message of God's grace and love to the world. The world would believe, and they become Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was the understanding, yeah? And God says, I'm not doing it that way. basically, yeah, you give them the message, you tell them about God, you tell them about grace, that when I send Messiah, when people believe in your Messiah, they don't have to go through all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? They can come to me straight off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's the mystery.
All very new to the Gentiles.
It was absolutely brand new.
Didn't know the history of the Jews,
no.
The Israelites, and crossing the Red Sea and all the rest of it.
Brand new.
Completely new, and they were being offered
salvation. They were offering the top deal. And that's the amazing. And I mean, we read this now and we think, well, we know now. I mean, Jesus loves everybody. It's easy, isn't it? But in their day, I mean, this was completely unknown.
But the Jews as well were having a gulping at it as well.
Yes. I mean, you find that with the early Christians in Acts. You say, wow, has God let the Gentiles in just like that then? they couldn't get it.
Wow.
It really was. Very difficult to accept it to start with, of course.
Yeah.
God showed it. That's why God revealed it to Paul and Peter. He did it with Peter as well, of course.
Yeah.
And
when you realise what that really means, and you think of the covenant, that really is, even now, the blessing, the covenant he gave to Abraham,
still applies to us now, yeah.
And we are part of the family.
Yes, that's the astounding thing.
When you're adopted, every opportunity that a son would have.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, when you get a hold of it, it's
mind-blowing. And that was in many ways why the early believers just soaked it in. They thought, this is too good to be true, but it's true.
Yeah.
So they were accepting this all the time.
I think actually, I can't quite remember, it was years ago, but I think I suddenly, that really hit me once. I'd gone along sort of reading it, I suppose the Holy Spirit hadn't highlighted it, that I was a child of
one of Abraham's kids.
Kate's just saying, obviously God sort of enlightens it up when you want to know, but you can go along for quite a long while and
that comes in the prayer later on. That's a good introduction to that.
But you say about preaching to Gentiles, I mean, that's the only part that gets people saved, is telling them the news.
Tell them about Jesus.
That's the gospel, isn't it?
So that's the mystery. The secret is out now. It wasn't known before, but now God's opened it out. The mystery is that through the gospel, only the gospel, the good news about Jesus, people, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. You're in. You're part of the wonderful promises that God made. I mean, what did he say to Israel? He says, they'll be my people, I'll be their God. Well, you're in. You've got part of that as well, yeah? And members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So you've got all of these blessings through this wonderful secret that God's revealed. And he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. He became a servant of this gospel. The word is deacon. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the word. What is a servant? Well, the word that's used there really is, it's like the waiter at the table. He just comes and brings the stuff, you know. You enjoy it, but he brings it. And that's all Paul's saying is, I'm not some big guy, you know, important fella. I've just, God gave me a job. What a job. Hey, just to tell people about Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel. And how did he become one of God's people? And the minister, he says, by the gift of God's grace through the working of his power. Well, Paul goes on to say in the next verse, although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. And we'll see the rest of that verse. Less than the least. Paul, perhaps you're not aware of this, but Paul has to make words up. He can't express himself in any right way. So when he says less than the least, he actually says I'm the more lesser. Yeah, it's a new word he's made up, meaning really the bottom of the pile. But what was this grace that God gave to Paul? I mean, I think that you could say God has a wonderful sense of irony and sense of humour. If you were going to choose somebody to tell the world about Jesus, would you have picked the guy that was the biggest persecutor, that did his best to wipe the Christians off the face of the earth, that couldn't stand the name of Jesus? Yeah. I mean, this guy's really anti. Yeah. And God picks him and shows him he's all wrong and puts him right and says, now go for it. I mean, that's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which means, brothers and sisters, Paul says this later on, if he's the worst, if he can do that for him, he can do it for anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's including you and me, of course. Yeah. So
also, Dennis, is it also mentioned the Gentiles, because Israel was partly blinded the veil.
Yes.
Even though it was written in their prophecies that the Gentiles would come.
Yes.
In at some point. So yeah. That's the mystery part, isn't it?
It is. So yes. It's a strange thing that in their going blind, it opened the eyes of others. Yes.
Okay.
Can I just say that a tiny sentence in Galatians?
In Galatians, yes. Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, did you know?
I guess.
You haven't seen it last week. Yeah. But it says about Paul's sort of conversion last week. It says, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. It goes on, but it took me quite a long time to see that word in me, because of Jesus, the Damascus Road experience, the Lord came to him.
Yes, but he came in him.
It made a world of difference.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It's not just the outside, he's got the inside of with Jesus now, isn't
so
it?
I think that's very important.
But there's another lovely bit in that verse though. He says, God who set me apart from birth.
Okay.
I mean, just think, God had got Paul in his sights when Paul's doing all his best to wipe out these Christians and cause all these problems. God says, I've got this guy. Mm-hmm. I always think if I was going to put a chapter heading over the bit of the Damascus Road, it would be the Canadian Mounties. Whatever it's the anthem or whatever it is, we get our man.
The greatest of God's mercy.
Yeah, man. Yes. Yeah. So he's been given this amazing grace. God loved him and forgave him and made him into one of his special servants in that sense, to be able to preach to the Gentiles. And that, just think, I mean, the man who was the Jew of Jews is given the job of telling the Gentiles.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is.
Do you think it could be a possibility, though, he was a Pharisee and not a Sadducee?
He was a Pharisee.
Yeah.
Pharisee.
So the Pharisees believed in the resurrection.
Yes.
And the Sadducees
didn't believe a thing.
So that's why God had his finger on
the
man.
Oh, yes. He chose the guy that was primed, in a sense. Yeah.
They've
been
taught very well.
It reminds me that sometimes I said this a bit with Elijah. You know when Elijah called that big meeting on Mount Carmel and said to the prophets of Baal, what you do is put your sacrifice down and we'll all pray to your God and I'll pray to mine, and the God that answers with the fire to burn up the sacrifice, he's the God. Right? And of course the Baal doesn't answer because he ain't one. But he prays to the Lord and the fire comes down. But basically, the sacrifice was prepared, it's all ready, but it needs God to light it.
Yeah.
That was Paul.
Yeah.
Everything's in place. He's had all, I mean, he knows the Bible back to front.
Mm-hmm.
He's done all the studies, he knows how they think, and all of that stuff. He knew Greek, so he could communicate to the Gentiles. He knew Hebrew, so he could talk to his fellow Jews. I mean, he was completely fitted for the job, but what he needed was light the blue touch paper. Yeah. God did it. Yeah. So he was given this wonderful privilege to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ah, brothers and sisters, this is a very special word, this one. Unsearchable. What does unsearchable mean?
Fathomless.
Fathomless. You can't get to the bottom of it. There's no way you'll get your head all round this, yeah? And I read a beautiful story. It was about a Yorkshire preacher many, many years ago in 1780 odd or something like that. It was his funeral then. And basically, he was an Anglican minister. He was a good minister in this town, village where it was, this living that he had. And it was a bit of a pagan place when he arrived, but he started getting him to go to church and sorted things out. And he was doing very well, and he became very popular with the powers that be and everything else. And then one day, he was reading this verse, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and he thought, well, I know the gospel, it's just this, that and the other, you know, easy bits, just tell people about Jesus and that's it, yeah? And he thought, well, if it's unsearchable, there must be more to it than I know. And it got him thinking, and really, it was that first time he really came to understand how big Jesus is and what God's done for him. He got saved, you could say, yeah? And from then on, I mean, he really did become a fire for Jesus. Of course, the authorities turned off him. They weren't too keen on him now because he was talking about Jesus too much. But, yeah, he got it. Just one word, unsearchable.
Yeah.
Got him. Basically, there's more to Jesus than you'll ever know.
Yeah. Yep.
And what he's done for you, you really can't get to the bottom of it. When you begin to realise. I mean, just on the very personal, small level, yeah? When Jean and I, we were at university, Jean was in London, I was at Cambridge, we decided we'd go to Leeds I was going to do a food science degree and Jean was going to do a teacher training thing. And we decided we'd go to Leeds, and there at Leeds I got involved in the church there. I wasn't a Christian at this time, but I got involved in it. And then we were thinking about where will we go after I've done my degree and Jean's done hers. And Jean found out that there's a job in Soham. You know Soham, just down the road, job in Soham. So Jean looked for a job there, and I looked at work in Cambridge, found all that in it. So we got it all worked out. We figured out how we were going to all this sussed out and go to live in Soham. And I travelled to Cambridge, Jean would work in the school. And do you know what was in Soham? There was the Baptist church and the minister who believed in the Bible. And you know, we actually got going there because God had got us into the habit of going to church. We weren't Christians, but we got into the habit of going to church. So we went along to this Baptist church. It was the nearest. We always use that as a good decider. Yeah. We went there, and we met people who really believed God. They loved him, and this minister actually believed the Bible. And do you know, we got saved. Yeah. Now, looking back over those years before moving to Leeds, getting all things organised, we were working it out, weren't we? But God was. God was. I know he was. I look back now and think, well, I wasn't that clever, was I? But God did it, really. That's what it's about.
That is the difference when you went to
school. Yes, that is the difference. Absolutely. Yeah, well, there you are. Why did I say that? Unsearchable. Yeah, you can't figure it out. It's just impossible to work out how God does things, yeah. So, and he said, verse 9, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for in ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. So, he says, I've got this amazing thing about Jesus to tell people, try to make it plain to everyone how it all works, this administration of the mystery, how God's doing these things. That's my job. And that's the preacher's job, isn't it, to try and explain. But I've got news for you. I can say this to dear Harold as well. Right? It wasn't you that got anybody saved, was it?
No.
No. We do our best. We try what we can to explain and make things clear and simple. Yeah? Without being childish or stupid, you know. Make things clear, plain and simple. But I've got news for you. Nobody gets it unless God turns the light on.
No.
Yeah? This is revelation. God shows you. So
verses 7 and 8, I have them heavily underlined.
Do you? Ah, right, yes.
It applies to us both.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, I was only thinking this the other way. You know, there is another way of looking at that, because you've got every responsibility to do your best.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it works the same, because you know that. So at the end of the day, when you know you've done your utmost best,
you can rest.
You can
live in the Lord. Yeah.
Because if you had all that to take on.
Oh, yeah.
I
saving the world is too big for my shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so it was hidden for ages past, kept hidden in God. And I got news for you. If it's hidden in God, nobody will find it out until God tells them. And he revealed it through Jesus, of course. And he says it was for ages past kept hidden. Well, like I said, for the Gentiles, no idea. But for the Jews, there were hints. I mean, as God said to Abraham, for example, and in Isaiah, it talks that the Messiah will be a light for the Gentiles. But how it was going to work, how the details worked out, was not revealed. It only became true after Jesus revealed it to these apostles, yeah? That it was simply through believing in who Jesus is and what he's done for you, that will get you joined to the Lord as the family member. Yeah? Simple. But it cost a lot to get there, of course.
But there is a verse that says God doesn't show us everything.
Oh, no.
He only gives us what we can understand.
Well, that's true, yes. Well, there's plenty more to discover, yes.
Yeah.
The amazing thing, someone said this, I'm sure I've read it somewhere, that the truth in the Bible is simple enough for a child to understand, and yet profound enough to occupy the greatest of minds that have ever been. Yeah. That's God all over, isn't it, really? Keeps it simple, but my goodness, when you start digging, you think, whoa, I'm out of my depth here.
Once you've heard it, then you're responsible for what you do.
What you've heard, yes.
Actually, in a way, that keeps you seeking, because if you hear a child understand it, you want to think, oh, I want to know more of that. Or
well, that's right, A child sees things in your eyes as well, don't they?
You know somebody with a huge brain, you want to think, well, I want to know a bit more of that.
Yeah.
So, either way, it should keep you seeking.
Yes.
It?
Yeah, well, it always strikes me, it's a real cause that we should be humble. I mean, myself definitely included. I've met some of the smartest people in the world, I suppose, in the kingdom here in Britain, through my time at the university. I mean, there were some really clever people, but I've met some very simple people who believed in Jesus, and they've got it, and those smart guys didn't. It's nothing to do with your intellectual ability. God turns the light on.
But you want to just want to keep.
Yes. Well, anyway, we are, God, it was hidden for ages past in God who created all things. Now, why does he say about God being the creator? I'd like to suggest he's really saying that is because this message of the gospel of Jesus is all part of the plan. When God created the world, he had a plan to ultimately reveal how all the world could ultimately come to know Jesus if they put their trust in him. Yeah, so that's why it talks about God being the creator. This is part of the plan, God's big plan for all of us.
And he wanted a relationship with us human beings.
Yes, that's why he made us. His intent, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Yeah, so God's intention was that now, through the church, through these people that get saved, through these Gentiles and Jews put together in this amazing thing called this new creation, that God's manifold wisdom. Do you know what the word manifold means? It's nothing to do with car engines. Manifold.
All the gases meet in the engine.
Well, there's a clue there. It, many-sided is really what manifold is. So many angles to it. That the multi, like a diamond, the multifaceted wisdom of God. Whatever way you turn it, there's always something brand new to shine out. Yeah, that's the idea. So
it's
this
not omnipresence and omniscience and all that.
No, but it's just glances at the different ways God does things, the variety of his wisdom, so, all this amazing wisdom of God should be made known to who? Rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Who are the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms?
Angels.
Angels. Yeah, the angels in all the different ranks and whatever. This is really quite astounding. Yeah. Did you know God's people. Yeah. We'll have us all in on this one. God's people are God's showpiece to show the angels. Look at this.
Yeah.
What have I done? So he gets hold of someone like Miriam and says, "Hey, angel, have a look at this one. What I did with her." Yeah. That's what he's doing. You're being watched by angels, and they're saying, "Wow." And I can believe that true. And God does something in your life, and you think, "Lord, that's got to be you, because it couldn't be me." The angels go, "Wow, isn't God amazing?" Yeah. So it's to the rulers and authorities that he's showing all this.
Why each one rejoices when
angels rejoice when somebody comes to the Lord? Yes, yes. So the angels are amazed at God working, and they're part of the work services that God provides for his children.
Yeah.
So through the church, through this amazing new creation, the family that God's made, he'll show his wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God had the plan all from the beginning. He's going to do it all. And was it through? Through Jesus. Again, it's always got to be through Jesus. He's the kingpin that holds it all together. Yeah. Right. In him, who's this? In him? In him, through Jesus. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So, in Jesus, it's almost as if Jesus is joined to us, and he holds our hand and introduces us to Father. That's what he's getting at there, yeah? In him, through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The word freedom there is more to do with freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You know, if you were brought before the Queen, what would you say? You'd be lost for words. Stuck for words, you wouldn't know what to say. Well,
mom, isn't it?
Yeah, not sure.
No, that's after you've called her your
mother. Oh, right, okay. Whatever it is, but with Jesus, you've got the ability to come and talk to God. Of him. Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, you can talk openly, freely to your Heavenly Father. Yeah, and we may approach him with freedom and confidence.
We do every day.
Yes, and and again, he's saying this to these Gentiles, substantially Gentiles in Ephesus by this time, I guess, really. Although there are obviously quite a few Jewish folks there as well. But he's saying, well, for them too, you can come before God with confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah? Why can you come before God with confidence? Because you're a rotten sinner, that's what you are. Are you?
No,
because
he's
going to
tell you the truth, isn't he?
Well, he does, yes, but the truth can be nasty if you've been a nasty little so-and-so.
No, he wouldn't hurt you that way.
Actually,
no.
When you've been forgiven and you know the love and you know whatever it is,
yes.
He's going to be want the best for you,
yes.
whatever discipline or
forgiven
or whatever.
And you know all what was past is gone, forgotten, dealt with, because Jesus died on the cross for that, you can come and say, "Father, thank you for having me."
Mine says, we have the boldness to go into God's presence.
Yes.
With all confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's not cocky, arrogant stuff, but a sense of, it's where I should be. I belong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we may approach him with boldness and confidence, and yes, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So he's been telling them what God's done for them, and he's a good pastor, this guy, because he knows they'll hear that he's locked up in prison.
Yeah.
And what would be the reaction of most people? Would they be, they'll feel depressed. You know, it's a bit sad. The Paul says, no, don't be depressed for me. The reason I'm here is because I've told you the good news about Jesus, and I'd do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's for your glory. That's what it's about. My troubles have meant that you got to hear about this wonderful Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right, so shall we stop there? I think we'll have to stop there, otherwise we'll have to get into this long prayer. And well, as a result, that was his digression, by the way. Paul says, I'm going to pray for you. Then he got talking about what Jesus had done and this mystery revealed. And then he comes back to it. I'll read it to you, but we'll look at the details next time. Verse 14. For this reason, because of all that I've told you about, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith.
Amen.
And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
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 To be continued. Right. Bless you. Let's pray. Eh? Lord, what a Saviour we have. Father, that in your Son Jesus, Lord, all the treasures of air wrapped up for us, Lord, and we can begin to experience these, Lord. We know there's more, always more. Unsearchable riches means, Lord, we'll never get to the bottom of the wonderful riches that are in Jesus. But Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that puts the light on, helps us to see and understand, Lord. And thank you, the mystery has been revealed. The secret is out. We can come to you. Anybody can come to you when they come to trust in Jesus as their Saviour, friend and Lord. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for the privilege you give us. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.